Tonight, Sunday night, Big Brother recap with Christine Brecht is sponsored by Mazda. Does driving matter to you? There's over 4 million miles of road in the United States to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, and long ways. They're all there waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque or do you just keep on going? Do you wake up early on Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does? Or do you take that long, winding road home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out there and drive. Why? Because driving matters. Mazda. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who never gets derailed when he's talking about Big Brother, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our live show, Sunday night, July 5th, 2015. 15 years ago tonight, Big Brother started, and here we are once again for its damn birthday here 15 years later. And to celebrate, we're bringing in one of the most popular house guests of all time from Big Brother. Here she is joining us on Rob's Podcast for the first time. Here's the great Christine Brecht. Christine, how are you?
Yay! Good, how are you?
Okay, Christine.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, very excited to have you here, Christine. Long time coming to get you on the podcast and happy to have you here. So happy Big Brother anniversary to you, Christine.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. This is awesome.
It's incredible. What a night. What a night and what an episode of Big Brother. Then here with us to talk about everything that's going on and to update us on the weekend, the 4th of July weekend on the live feeds. Here is our good friend, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Happy Big Brother damn birthday to you.
Yes, absolutely. And that podcast with Eric Stein was incredible.
Yeah, we had a really fun podcast on Friday. Spent over 2 hours talking about the night that Big Brother started here in the U.S., talking all about Big Brother 1's premiere episode and a little bit more of where the history of Big Brother, a little bit. We didn't go through all 15 years of Big Brother, but we talked a lot about that first episode, a lot about the first season. That's all up on robisawebsite.com. Busy week coming up tomorrow morning. I will speak with the first player evicted from Big Brother. The great Jace will join me on the first exit interview of Big Brother 17. Christine, can you believe it?
Awesome. No, I can't. This is very surreal.
Yes. All right. So if anybody has any good questions for Jace, please let me know about that. So that's coming up tomorrow. And then we'll also do our Big Brother voicemail show on Monday as well. So get your voicemails in at robhaswebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. Plus, I'm going to have an interview very soon with Matthew Berry from ESPN. We did a podcast actually during Big Brother 15. He wants to talk about this season of Big Brother as well. That's coming up this week as well. So lots of Big Brother stuff happening on Rob Has a Podcast this week. So excited to get into it. Let's jump right in. Of course, chat room is open. Robiswebsite.com, #RHAP. Also, robiswebsite.com/YouTube to get your questions in later on in the show with Christine, because we will be taking your questions later on to talk about all of this. So big night tonight. We saw the battle, or sort of not so much a battle, a little bit of a friendly coalition between Shelley and Beckers. And ultimately, it's Davon and Johnny Mac that sit on the block, Christine. So almost a bit of a Big Brother 16 type of battle of the block where the H's O-H collaborate together on coming up with these nominations.
Yeah. Oh, froze a little bit. Okay.
Okay. All right. You with me, Christine?
Dang it, sorry.
Okay. Good. Yeah, this is your first interview here on the podcast. I don't want you to blow it.
I forget it.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Okay. So we're talking about the Battle of the Block. What are we talking about?
Christine. We're talking about that the HSOH working together, a la Big Brother 16.
Oh yes, you always want to pretend at least that you're working with the other HOH, just like you know Shelley's pretending to work with Becky, so that you have enough time to break the news to them that you may not be on the same page. But when you're making nominations, you only have a couple hours too, like to talk before you have to sleep and wake up and do nominations. So you got to pretend at least you're on the same page.
Yeah, one thing that was left out of the show was the accelerated timetable that the 4th of July presented. We touched on this on Thursday night, yeah. But there's a big fireworks show that happens on the CBS lot every year. It's a big show. Everybody comes out and goes to that CBS lot and watches the big fireworks show, but they keep you guys locked up that whole day, right? You don't get to watch any fireworks, Christine.
No, we literally get a camera from the backyard view of the fireworks that are happening right outside the backyard.
Yeah. The only fireworks you get on 4th of July are when Devin starts making alliances with people. That's it.
Those are the best kind of fireworks, though, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. A Broman candle. That's it. That's all you get with Devin. And so what happens ultimately is that Thursday night, they had to name their nominees right off the bat. And typically that would happen on Friday, right? Christine, you guys had a very accelerated timetable also as well in the second week. Can you just talk about what that timetable was like for you guys?
It's really stressful because you do everything at once and then you have days when you know that the two people on the block and you have so many days to like switch the vote or whatever. But when you become HOH, it depends like how late do the competition. But sometimes you only have like 5 hours before you're so sleep deprived that you have to fall asleep and wake up in 3 hours and freaking make nominations. It's very, very stressful. And I think the time limit is what causes a lot of odd nominations sometimes, or safe.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
So basically everything played out here on Thursday night, where typically the nominations in the Big Brother house are on Friday, correct? So this was only, they only had about 2 or 3 hours after the live show to name their nominees.
Yeah.
And so
barely any time at all.
Yeah. So they went from time. How big of a factor do you think the short timetable where was they nominated on Thursday and then ran through the Battle of the Block on Friday to get everything ready for Saturday being the 4th of July. Did that change anything, do you think, Christine?
I mean, to be honest, Shelly seems like people can get in her ear kind of easily. So maybe if she had an extra day, someone would have convinced her to... No, see, I don't think so. I think no matter what, both of those would have made those nominations because Shelly still wants to stay. And let's say someone did convince her to want to backdoor Audrey, she would still make the same nomination. So, you know, I actually think that they probably would have been the same, even with the accelerated timeline.
Okay. Well, the big thing that played out in the first 15 minutes of the episode was the big house meeting, which was between Davon versus Audrey versus Vanessa. And a bit of revisionist history with the edit, and Taryn, I'm interested to know from you just if basically we know it was a condensed version and certainly an out of order version, but if the story still held up for you, because this house fight or this house meeting that ended up happening, I believe was on Tuesday of last week, and the show is giving it to us as if it happened after the new HOH were crowned, which would seem like a very bad time to have a big blow up like this in front of the house.
Yeah.
Taryn, did you feel like the ultimate punchline to the story was accurate in terms of how it actually transpired?
I do think it was accurate. For the most part, they kind of got lucky in the storylines that they, I mean, maybe it's not luck. Maybe they're good at this. The storylines they chose to show in the previous episodes really happened to coincide well with what ended up happening with Davon going on the block and the argument happening. Basically, what was left out were like some of the details about what Jason was talking about with you caused distrust with these people and these people and these people. All of those other things were whole other stories. And they focused on the Girl Alliance one.
Is there any motive, Christine, to Audrey telling Vanessa that Davon said that Vanessa had started an all women's alliance, or is the motive just enough to say Audrey is pretty crazy?
I think Audrey's pretty crazy. I didn't actually get to see the fight. I've only seen like Twitter comments about it because my internet wasn't working at the time. But I think that Audrey is telling so many lies that she's just getting caught in her own hilarious web of like who said what and when. And I think this is like the best thing that could have happened to for us, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's so entertaining.
Taryn, do you have any more insight into why did Audrey tell Vanessa that Davon said Vanessa was starting a women's alliance?
All right, so Audrey and Davon have had this kind of under the radar fight between each other for a while now. So Day was the one that she just decided she wanted to throw under the bus in that particular situation. But the reason she went off about Vanessa in particular was because she had given Vanessa some information that ended up getting leaked. And so she thought, I can't trust Vanessa. She got really worked up and paranoid about it and thought Vanessa was forming this opposition alliance to the group of eight that we saw on the last episode. So that was where the Vanessa thing came from. She later kind of figured out, okay, Vanessa wasn't doing this. I can trust Vanessa. But at that point, things had gone too far.
So is she just trying to cover her tracks and say, okay, well, if Vanessa hears anything about this women's alliance, let me pin it on Davon, and then I can say all along that it had nothing to do with me?
Right, exactly. Okay, and Davon was the one that she could pin it on because she's the one she liked least.
Okay. Boy, Audrey really is all over the place. And I wonder, Christine, is it possible to play a game like this in the Big Brother house? Like, could this possibly be successful? I would say almost like in Survivor, it's almost like a Tony Vlachos type game of that, just moving, move, and like being all over the place. But on Big Brother, word travels so fast around the house. Is it possible for anybody to play a game like this and be successful in Big Brother?
The only way I could ever see that happening is if she's like sincerely kind of sliding through because they think Audrey's going to say something crazy this week, keep her because she'll be the target for next week and the next week and the next week, and they could just keep her for a target because she's crazy. Otherwise, if you look at the past however many people that have won, they've all laid low and been quiet and done their dirty work quietly, not out loud, calling meetings with people and all that jazz.
Now, we've made so many comparisons between Devin and Audrey over these first couple of weeks of Big Brother 17. Do you see similarities there between what Audrey is doing and playing with Devin, or do you think it's completely night and day?
I can definitely
see... And not
see
night and Davon.
Two completely different. I can definitely see the similarities where Devin was just paranoid all the time, and every word you said to him, he would stare at you like you were lying, and he would go and tell someone else. So I wouldn't tell him anything. Like, I would just talk out of my butt every time I talked to him, and then what I said out of my butt would get to somebody. So in that sense, I think they are playing very similar. And so I think it's similar, but again, I haven't lived with Audrey, so...
Yeah. All right, so we had this big fight that ended up happening where Vanessa kind of called Audrey out in front of Davon, or called Davon out in front of Audrey and said, hey, she's been telling me that you're saying that there's this women's alliance happening in the house. And we got the great Davon line, oh, game on. So Davon is the one that calls the house meeting and calls out Audrey in front of everybody. But I didn't feel like the house meeting, while it certainly did end up with Audrey taking a lot of heat, I didn't feel like Davon walked away from this as scot-free as she potentially was. Like, even though she was innocent, I think she still ended up getting bloodied up a bit from Audrey. And I think that it's an interesting way to compare the styles of a player of a Davon and an Audrey. And Audrey is so, I hate to say it, but that she's good at what she does, in that she's very tough to pin down, because you can, like, Davon and Vanessa had Audrey sort of dead to rights on things, yeah. But Audrey is able to sort of limp away to fight another day, and she can go ahead and make it sound like you're actually crazy, like she was the one that did everything, and she will, like, lie to her dying breath about what she's saying, and to the point where some people say, yeah, well, there must be some truth to what she's saying because she's so adamant about her denial. Do you think, should we be giving Audrey some credit for her defense of herself?
I mean, the fact that she didn't go home last week and she's not up, is not Shelley's target this week, I think that says a lot. The fact that she is maybe overkilling it so much that people don't know what to believe, so you can't really call her a liar on anything. You kind of choose what you want to believe eventually with people like that.
Yeah,
so you have no other choice.
She's really, I think, very slippery and very evasive. Taryn, accuse me of anything, and I will defend myself as Audrey.
Actually, when that argument was happening, my immediate thought was, this is fantastic for Audrey's game, because everyone already knew Audrey was a liar. Like, they were already onto her. They were already talking behind her back. She was already the target. So once it became this big thing, it's like they unmasked the demon, and they're like, oh, it's just this, you know, it's just this girl, and she's now, you know, crying in bed alone. And the myth of Audrey, you know, kind of dissipated. And so now she's just this kind of person that's alone instead of this big, you know, liar that everyone's scared of.
Yeah, I really do. I feel like the house meeting to call out Audrey, I think, ultimately ended up going in Audrey's favor for a couple of reasons, that she really was able to... It really did solidify that Devon was sort of somebody who was going to be coming after people. She was going to be aggressive. And it really ended up with her and Jason, who were the aggressors in all of that, being the people who were the targets of Shelley this week, and the people that Shelley wanted to see potentially go home, where Shelley even felt like, okay, you can't get Devon out, we'll get Jason out. That'll be fine. We need to split those two up. And for Audrey, she really is able to sort of jujitsu out of this and be able to, whatever you come at her with, she's like, why would I say that? Obviously, you were the one that told me. You said that to me, so I didn't say anything to you. Absolutely not. Like, it's like, you could have the footage on her. And she's like, why would I do that? That makes no sense. Are you sure?
House meetings are never a good idea, or for the person calling them, because you always look like the bully. And no matter what the other person did, it's easier to get angry at the person causing all this drama than the person that it's about. So I don't know why anyone still does that.
Yeah, because Audrey does the thing where she always threatens to call a house meeting.
Yes.
But to this point, Audrey has not ever called a house meeting. She's always saying, like, well, let's get a house meeting going. Let's talk to everybody, because I think that we need to get this all out there. I'm on your side, but we need to talk to everybody. Very good. Very good. So I'm happy to see Audrey not on the block here in the first go around. So we had Shelley and Becky working together, but Shelley goes behind Becky's back and gets Johnny Mac to throw the Battle of the Block. Christine, do you like that plan from Shelley's perspective?
No, I mean, after my season, I'm actually flabbergasted that people are still trying to use that idea of throwing Battle of the Block, given it worked this time because Devon just wasn't good at the competition. But if Devon was good at the competition and Johnny had to like blatantly throw it and stuff, you don't do that. I just think it's useless at this point. And you learn from our mistakes. It almost never worked. So I really hope after this one, they don't try it again. I think it's dumb.
Yeah, it was very interesting, especially the way that it ended up playing out with Johnny Mac in the competition, where he really didn't have to do anything. It really seemed like from what he was telling us, he was sort of like, you know, Day's strategy is so bad that I didn't have to even try to throw the challenge. It was very fun that he was just talking about how bad she was. Taryn, did you think she was actually as bad as Johnny Mac was making it out to be?
I doubt it.
I don't think so. It looked like they were doing pretty terribly, but she just probably made like a simple mistake, and he was dragging his feet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have to pull a beast mode cowboy and sit down during the thing and tell her she was on her own. It probably would have been one of these things where if it was easier, if he just would have been doing nothing, if he could just like slide out of the shirt or something like that. Yeah, that would might have been easier. But yeah, I really let me stay with this, and then I want to talk about Johnny Mac, because I think he's actually doing really well in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what Shelley is doing, was this a smart... Did you like this idea for her to try to remain in power? Because I actually kind of liked what Jason was able to do last week and sort of duck out of being the HOH and put the plan in motion. And I think that's what Beckers thought she was mm-hmm. doing, and not having to get the blood on her hands. But it turns out that Shelley is the one that wants to be in this spot. And so do you like this ultimately for Shelly? Being a person who really didn't have a target on her back whatsoever, she is going to have to get her hands dirty pretty hard this week, it seems like.
Week two, I don't think she should have wanted the HOH so bad, because especially week two, that's when you really start getting down and dirty. Week one is a pretty good throwaway. Week two, it depends. But I think she could have laid low so much longer. But now with her winning HOH, especially with Clay attached, I think there's a huge target on her now.
Yeah, it really does seem like the Shelly and Clay thing is happening. Tara, is that a full-on showmance? Is it just flirtmance? Where are we at with that?
Some moves have been attempted, and Shelly has shut them down. She doesn't want to do anything on TV.
Doesn't want to do anything on TV?
It's even kissing. So that's what she said so far.
All right, she's single and ready to mingle, right?
Yeah.
What's the problem here? I don't know. But sometimes that fades also. A lot of people come in and say they don't want to do anything on TV, and then they ultimately, like, that's a thing that sort of goes away after a while, I think.
Yeah, I think if they stay in the house, for a while,
yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Because Christine, she was like laying on the bed, and he had no shirt on, and he was like climbing in the bed with her, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw her climb on top of her. It's a moment, a matter of time. I'll tell you what, two single people, they're into it.
Yeah, right. So. I think that Clay and Shelly is going to be a thing romantically if they last long enough. But yeah. I thought it was very interesting when Clay was like arguing of like, let me go on the block, put me on the block. She's like, no, I would never do that to you. I couldn't live with myself. I would never do that to you. And it was one thing when they had the conversation in private, but I thought that was really bad on both of them when they had that conversation in front of Jeff. Do you agree? Was that a big problem for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think doing anything in front of Jeff at this point is a problem, saying anything. I don't think Clay should have ever mentioned volunteering to go on the block in front of anybody but the HOH, whether it was Shelly or not. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem if they had that conversation in private and she's like, look, right. Hey, I saw Big Brother Canada. I'm not putting my friend up on the block here. But it's just the way that she said it, like, oh my God, she was asking like put me in the plane, let me do the suicide mission. Like, no, I couldn't live my
life. Caleb.
Yeah. So it just seemed like kind of kooky to me, and especially to do that in front of Jeff. I think they're going to be very exposed as a pair, especially when she is targeting Davon and Jason because they are a pair. And that's what she's so worried about. And so the fact that okay, once that pair is gone, that might be the next pair, almost unbreakable pair in the house that you want to sort of try to target. So I think that is going to be a very interesting thing to watch that play out. So Davon and Jason are the target of Shelly. She's pretty obvious about that. You know, should Davon make it through this week, you got to think that Shelly and Clay are going to be a huge target for her. Had Shelly not gone after Davon, if she would have been more on board with the original plan, would that have been a better spot for Shelly to take Audrey out this week and give in to the will of the house?
I honestly absolutely think so. Shelly should be smart enough to know that Audrey talks to everybody, and Audrey is not going to be on Shelly's side. She's on everybody's side. So that would have been such an easy way to like get someone out, be the hero of the house. Everyone wants her gone. And it's just not smart, because even Davon and Jason would have been fine with Audrey going, and Shelly wouldn't have had a huge target on her back. And now she's got two huge enemies.
Yeah. Because even if you get Davon out this week, Jason still stays in the house. Jason is going to potentially be gunning for Shelly and Clay more so than he's going to be gunning for Audrey. Tara, do you see any upside to not targeting Audrey this week if you're Shelly?
There is some upside. I don't think it outweighs the negatives of putting yourself out there the way she's doing. But taking out Audrey doesn't really benefit her game very much.
But what does?
Audrey.
Yeah.
Exactly. She shouldn't really have won HOH this week is the problem. Because taking out Audrey doesn't really help her. And she's not as close to that core group of like Day, Jason, Jeff, Meg, James, as they're really tight, and her and Clay are kind of on the outside of that. So taking out Audrey for them isn't the best thing in the world, but taking a strike at them is definitely not a good thing either. So.
Because even Jeff was like, "Boy, Audrey's really dangerous. How could you trust? How could you trust Audrey in the house?" I don't know. So I think that was not. Believe me, I'm happy because I love Audrey in the house. I want Audrey to stay as long as possible. But I think that that's very, very confusing to me as to why she would go to such great lengths to. Because Christine, won't she be seen as an Audrey protector at this point? The further she goes along, so she's going to make an enemy out of potentially either Jason and Davon, or if she gets Davon out, she still has Jason to deal with in the house. And she's seen as somebody who is taking orders from Audrey, is she not?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if Audrey, at this point, if Audrey does anything else dumb, Shelley is connected right to it because Shelley didn't do anything to get her out. So that's very dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous stuff. Johnny Mac, I felt like this was mostly his coming out party tonight. A lot of airtime for Johnny Mac, finally. Mm-hmm. He's put in the position where he has to either throw the challenge or compete to try to stay off. And he was very funny talking about what he had to do in the challenge. I pulled this.
This is going to be like the worst dental injection of all time. Just boom, right in the gums and bam.
Yeah.
Pain hurt.
Worst dental injection of all time for Davon. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I had to
so
do
funny.
It. So he ends up throwing the challenge. And so he stays on the block. And Johnny Mac, I really think, is in a fantastic position early on in this game. He's well-liked in the house. He's been on the block now a couple of times. And he seems very resilient. Christine, would you say that Johnny Mac is in one of the best positions in the game, despite being on the block here again in the second week?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. People are putting him on the block never as a threat. They're always putting him on. Like Victoria, how many times does she make it on that block without ever being the target? And I've seen him in conversations with like Jeff or something, and he'll get asked a question and he'll completely avoid it. He'll talk in circles until the person's satisfied without actually ever saying anything. And it is amazing. So, like, no one really knows where his head's at. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I thought he had a particularly great moment tonight when he was called in and he was having the conversation with, I forget which, I guess it must have been with Shelley. And they asked him, like, who are the people in the house that you trust? And I forget who the first name he said, and the second was like, and this guy? And so it was another just a really good. That's like that's always the right answer. Like, who are the people that you trust? Like, I like you. Like,
and he only ever says Becky. Like, that's the only one. So if she goes down, I mean, like, he only has one connection at this point, and that's good, better than a ton. He always just agrees with whoever's in the room. Very smart.
Yeah, he's doing really good so far. I think he's off to a very good start in this game. Taryn, did you want to jump in on Johnny Mac?
Yeah, I think the best thing about it so far is that everyone is constantly talking about Johnny Mac. Like, Johnny Mac, he doesn't understand this game. He watched some stuff in Sequester, but he didn't really understand it. And he's watched since season two, and he's got them completely fooled. Like, they all think he's dumb.
Now, let me ask you this question, and this is, I know you have went through this whole Big Brother Canada 3 ride with me, so this might be a little bit of speaking in foreign tongues for our American-only viewing audience, but Taryn, do you think, is Johnny Mac at risk of being the Godfrey of Big Brother 17?
I almost made that connection. I think the difference is, though, that Johnny Mac seems to be a bit more social than Godfrey was.
Okay.
People like him more.
Less abrasive.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's more of the house guest pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
That should be his Twitter name.
Yeah, that's the house guest pleaser. My new Twitter name is house guest pleaser. I don't really know why. So let's talk about Becky. Becky got a lot of airtime tonight. And even though it's been going on for a while, us talking about it with the live feeds, we finally got the coming out party of the Becky train story. And I don't know how the editors really wanted us to interpret that story. You know, if you just heard the headline of Becky is in a train accident, got hit in the face by a train, this is a very sad story, but I don't feel like the editors treated it that way on the show. Here's Becky giving us the news tonight.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
Do the editors need to put the careening train sound effect in there on top of that?
Oh, that's so terrible. Poor Becky. That's like a freaking crazy story, and they just turned it into this, like, Becky's quirky. She's been hit by a train.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
I don't know how we're supposed to react to that. You know, I first heard the story. Becky got hit in the face by a train, and then I laughed, and then I thought about it. I'm like, it's not funny. It's not a funny story. But then they showed on the TV show, and they're putting like kooky sound effects in here, Taryn. How are we supposed to react to the news of Becky's on the train? Because just shorthand from how Big Brother is telling us in the editing that it is something to be mocked based on the sound effects and the music in that scene.
Yeah, they could have used violins.
Yeah, they didn't give us the sad, sappy music. We didn't get like, okay, here's, you know, somebody in the house talking about their daughter or their loved one or something like that. We got the wacky.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
it's like they wanted the best of both worlds, where the headline is really funny, but then they also want to be like, oh, and it's also really serious, and she's really tough for having lived through it. But it's also really silly.
Yeah,
it's all things. I don't really know how to react to this. You know, I looked up Becky's bio on CBS.com because I wanted to see if we got... I mean, this is like a major thing. And how long did she say this happened to her ago? It was only like a year ago, right, Taryn?
Yeah, pretty recent.
And so you would think that this would be like a major part of her story and about how her package of like, hey, I'm Becky and I survived this train wreck. I got hit in the face with a train. I had no plastic surgery. I just came back from this. It doesn't nary a mention of this in her bio. And they asked her, Becky, what are you afraid of? And the answer was not trains. The answer is snakes. I hate those legless bastards. That is not the right answer, Becky.
What is wrong? What happened to her?
I've had it with these snakes on this mother flipping train, not the train.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So I don't know. Christine, what do you make of this? Are we supposed to be sad about the Becky train story? Is it real?
I definitely think it's real. I think it should be more of a heartfelt, like, holy crap, her whole body and face was broken a year ago, and look at how she pulled through. But, instead of a, like, oh, turn the corner, hit a train.
Yeah, what? I mean, but I'm not a doctor or anything. Is it even plausible what she's saying, that if you got hit by a train and then you miraculously healed? I mean, she's saying, like, she had, like, teeth that came through her face, and... is this all just a preview for the upcoming BB Takeover for Supergirl, Taryn?
Get ready for a takeover!
I knocked my headphones out. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Technical difficulties. I have a takeover over here. I've knocked my own headphones out. Hold on. Give me a second. Let me plug this back in. Here, Taryn, you take over for a second while I straighten this out.
I thought he was going to go for, like, she's pulling a Matt Hoffman and saying that she got hit by a train to get sympathy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in my interview process, I have been in a hot air balloon crash, and production loved that. Like, that sounds terrible, but they were always, like, so fascinated each time. They're like, oh my gosh, you were in a hot air balloon accident? I was like, yeah. So I was like, poor Becky, she's got the train story this year. They love that stuff.
Well, that's pretty great. Like, what was a hot air balloon accident? How did that happen?
Freaking, I went with a bunch of hillbillies. It's a long story, and the guy just apparently didn't heat it up enough, and it was the middle of cactus. I just got a lot of bruises and scratches and scars, but that's it. Nothing broken. We're good. I landed on some people.
I'm surprised you didn't put hot air balloon crash survivor as your...
Me too! Favorite.
Yeah. See, this is what I got for making fun of Becky. This was karma 100%. This was... I made fun of...
Absolutely.
And then my podcast turned into a train wreck. Pulled out the wires to the headphones. Sorry about that. I also thought this was an interesting comment from all of this. This was... I believe this was Shelly talking about working with Becky.
Someone that can take a train to the face is definitely someone I can see myself aligning with.
What?
Real quick, you can tell it's Jackie because of the music.
Oh, that's right.
Funny music this year.
Oh, so silly. The Jackie music.
The Jackie music.
Boy, Christine, would you work with somebody who could take a train to the face?
I mean, if that kind of sounds like it would mess up their mental stability, and in that case, probably not.
Someone that can take a train to the face is definitely someone I can see myself aligning with.
Why? Why, Jackie?
What does that have to do with Big Brother? Please inform us.
Sounds like an advertisement.
For what? The advertising.
Train.
Someone that can take a train to the face is definitely someone I can see myself aligning with.
Yeah, I guess so. Because we work with anybody that takes a train to the face.
Golden.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Jackie is, she likes to travel. So yeah. Being an amazing racer, I would work with anybody that could take a train to the face.
If you miss a train once, maybe she was hoping that Becky could stop the train during the race. Okay, that's
true. Yeah,
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
What a cold-hearted editor.
All right. So, editors, I need some more explanation. Because if it's a funny story, it makes you feel like, are the editors saying that we shouldn't believe this story? Like, are the editors telling us this is a Victoria Crow story? It's embellished. It can't possibly be real. This is shorthand for don't believe what she's talking about. Or are the editors just really mean? Which is it, Christine?
I think they're just being mean.
Wait, hold on. Is this? Hold on. Are you saying? Are you pulling a Dan Foley right now? Are you saying you got a bad edit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right, Christine. We'll see. All right. Well, what else from the episode tonight, Aaron? Was there anything else that we didn't cover before we get to talking about live feeds?
Shelly called her plan her master plan, which seems to be catching on. We heard it a ton in Big Brother Canada. Like, why is everyone calling their plan master plan now? I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, I think if you have a plan, it doesn't sound as exciting as you say it. Like, this is a plan. It's not really a great plan. It's just sort of like what we're doing right now. It's not really the master plans. It's more, it's just a really a minor plan that I'm carrying out this week for my HOH week.
You can't go up from there, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. All right, so let's see. Why don't we go ahead and talk about what's happening on the live feed? Because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot to update us with in terms of the veto and in terms of replacement nominations. So if you are just watching the TV show, we're going to be back with the exit interview with Jace. I'm going to talk with Matthew Berry this week as well from ESPN. Big deal in terms of if you're into fantasy sports. He's a big, big brother fan. Wants to talk about this season. And we'll also be getting into your voicemail. So all that's coming up and more. But for us, we're getting into talking about the live feeds right now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Time for the live feed spoilers. Christine, are you ready to be spoiled?
Oh, yeah. I think I am spoiled, but I'll take more spoilers.
More spoilers. All right, Taryn. It was the 4th of July weekend in the Big Brother house and as well as everywhere. So talk us through where we have gone to following the events of the Battle of the Block.
So they played veto pretty soon after the Battle of the Block, and Johnny Mac won the veto. Shelly and Clay initially tried to get him to not use it on himself.
Yeah.
But he immediately
How about
felt
no? How about I'm going to use the veto to save myself this week?
He's like, you know what, John? You deserve to use that veto. Yeah, no crap. When it went around his neck, that's when he deserved to use it.
So the ceremony hasn't happened. The initial idea for the replacement was going to be Liz, but Austin and Vanessa have talked Shelly into changing her mind. Now she wants to put up Meg, but she hasn't talked to Meg about it yet.
Okay, so it's either going to be Meg or Liz that gets renommed. So Audrey will survive the renom process at the bar. Again, with asterisk, this is BB 17. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
But barring any unforeseen craziness over tonight, tomorrow will be the veto ceremony. Is that right, Taryn?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So we're expecting Liz versus Meg. Can you handicap this for me? At what point, what are the odds right now of it being Meg over Liz?
Almost definitely Meg. She seems to have made up her mind. The only thing is that every time Meg's talked to her, Meg has like been able to somehow convince her not to put her up.
The thinking about Meg is that she's the most airtight pawn in the house.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Christine, what could go wrong with this plan?
There's a twist every week. That could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, the big thing that we didn't talk about tonight on the show was the last laugh twist with Kathy Griffin. And so we're going to find out somebody is going to be able to cancel three of the votes. Taryn, has that played out yet? Has the phone been ringing?
No, not at all yet.
Well, the longer this goes on for, the more we start to say, put our tinfoil hat on of like, what do they want to have happen here, yes. Right?
Seven straight calls in a row while the person's right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a phone in the house? Like, what is? Is there no mention of this?
Not yet.
Not at all. I imagine they'll probably get a BB Takeover theme playing, and then maybe there'll be a phone in the living
room. Not touching that button again tonight after what happened before.
You're a little gun shy.
Yeah, I'm gun shy now. So very, very interesting development of how this is going to play out. Now, what is the argument for putting Liz up against Davon? Is that just a pawn? Is that like the person that that Shelley feels like, well, this is the person that has the least power in the house, so this is a pawn in the truest sense of the word?
Yeah, basically she gave her word to Becky and Jackie that they wouldn't go on the block. Liz isn't really connected to many people. But also seems pretty safe to put up that she wouldn't go home. But ultimately, Meg is the safer option in order to make sure that Day goes home. It's just that Meg has a lot of connections and it might ruffle some feathers.
Mm-hmm. All right, so paint the picture for me of who are the votes for Davon right now. Is it just Davon and Jason right now? Or do they have a team working with them? And James?
Davon has nobody, actually. Jason has been like, you know what, I gotta let her go. Especially if Meg goes up, I gotta let her go. They all pretty much jump ship pretty much.
Christine, where did it all go wrong for Davon? Was it when I made her my winner's pick? Is there a stigma that gets attached to being the person that I pick is going to win Big Brother? Why am I so bad at this?
You're a curse, really. Just stop picking. Just kidding. I think that Davon let her emotions get to her way too soon and way too verbally out there, and she just became too dangerous of like talking and stuff like that. Not good.
I think her biggest issue was that she made a big connection with Jason, but she didn't make very strong connections with the rest of the people in that group. She was mainly tied to Jason. So she was kind of the person on the outside of that group. She wasn't even connected to the trio of like Clay, Audrey, and Shelley. So she was an easy one to just let go, you know, and move forward.
I mean, if we're going to put Meg up against Davon, I'm going to make the same argument that I made last week when it was Jace versus Jackie of who's the bigger threat to win the game here? Who is the bigger threat to go further in this game? Don't tell me it's Davon.
Yeah.
Because Davon has nobody. Meg has everybody. I mean, doesn't it make all the sense in the world to take out Meg at this point, Christine?
Absolutely. She's going to float right on by, or not even necessarily float, but have friends that are going to carry her pretty far. I wish Davon would start making deals with somebody. Like, when people are on the block like that, you know, she should offer her life up for half of the house.
If we were just saying for TV, just for us, we're being completely self-interested, for us people at home, watching the shows, watching the live feeds, we all like good TV.
Does everybody want good TV?
Yes, pretty much. Should we be rooting for Davon to stay this week, Taryn, over Meg?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be explosive. It means there's going to be a flip that'll happen, and then there's going to be a lot of drawn lines the next week. And, you know, yeah, I mean, Davon's in the house, so things are going to be explosive.
I don't want her to go.
So
that said, though, she's been pretty quiet. When she's kind of resigned to her fate a little bit. So
So we should be rooting for something to happen where who gets the phone call? Are we rooting for Jason to get the phone call?
It would probably have to be Devon, and she'd probably have to pull votes. She might have to pull votes from the other side if she's against Meg.
That's gonna be tricky. So how has Audrey been handling all of this now that Audrey looks to be safe for the week? Is she back to business, or is this Audrey? Are we seeing a new lurking in the shadows, Audrey?
She has slowed her roll, but she's definitely still up to her old tricks. Like, if she had been playing like this from the start, she'd probably have gotten a lot further without getting caught, because she's not running around everywhere. But as it is, every time she talks to somebody, they just don't believe what she says.
Christine, could somebody bounce back from this bad of a start in Big Brother? Do we have anybody that we could say has this sort of resume where they bounce back from this?
I sincerely can't think of a single person that was that bad in the beginning that bounced back. Your trust is forever. Maybe if she lasts two more weeks and is trustworthy to a handful of people, but I cannot see. Too loud, too soon.
The one person I can think of that maybe you could say, and it's nowhere near as close, I feel like maybe Dan in his first season, where he was sort of in with the Brian stuff. And not that Dan was Brian was the person who was like the Audrey there. But he was sort of like attached to it, and he bounced back from it. But no, there's never been anybody like Audrey that could bounce back from it. But Taryn, is there that potential?
If she survives the next week, which is possible, if somebody from the other side of the house wins, like Austin or Vanessa, she might actually be safe. She could get into that spot, kind of like almost like Sabrina from Canada 2, where Sabrina was kind of in that kind of position where she was telling everyone lies, and then she got caught, and then she just kind of got strung along. She was bad at competitions all the way to final two. So she could get in that spot, or that's probably the best she can hope for at this point, unless she does something really crazy.
Christine, does Audrey have Sabrina from Big Brother Canada? Does she have final two goat upside?
I cannot see that happening.
Too early?
Sabrina was a good go, and she got very tame after being called out, but I don't think, even after this call, I don't think Audrey's going to stay quiet for that long.
Would it take a minor miracle for Audrey to make the jury at this point?
Yes, agreed.
I hope she does.
She has a chance to make jury. I think she has a chance.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see ultimately how's it going to go, because you have this whole little thing going on between Shelly and Devon. Let's just assume that Devon goes this week and it looks like she's going to be the person going out the door. Besides Audrey, who is the next biggest target in the house, Taryn?
Well, it depends on what group you're looking at. Austin wants to go after James.
Why?
Jason wants to go after Vanessa because James lied to him about Jason. He thinks that James is somebody on the other side that he can't trust.
Okay.
And then Jason is kind of on to Vanessa, and him and that group and Meg, they all kind of want to target Vanessa and Austin. So it's really going to be kind of who wins HOH and who's going to target which side. Audrey seems to be slipping through the cracks again. She's definitely a plan B for anybody's nominations, though.
Okay. Christine, does the house always look ahead? Like, it's a foregone conclusion that Devon is going to go out, say, on Tuesday. Does the house start to look ahead to the next week of who's the next person to go, or are they sort of waiting to see how the HOH plays out in the Battle of the Block?
No, you usually just start overanalyzing everything immediately. Once the renom is placed, you start thinking, okay, if this person wins HOH, then we'll do this. So I already have a plan by the next HOH.
Okay.
Yeah. Last night they were talking about the exact food order until jury and how they were going to pick exactly who makes it to jury. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
All right, so let's go ahead and start to take some of these questions. This is from Bro Aid, who says, who is on top of the power rankings right now? All right, Christine, if you had to tell us, who is the person that you think is in the best position to win the game right now in our second week?
Oh, my gosh. I would say Johnny if he continues to lay low and then pow him right at the end.
Johnny Mac. Aaron?
I want to say that Meg is probably playing the best game right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two people who could potentially both be on the block this week. As far as Liz goes, if Liz goes up on the block against Davon, does Liz have anything to worry about, Taryn?
Yes, especially if the phone call goes to Day. There's definitely a possibility that they can try and flip the votes there.
Boy. Tell me honestly, how bummed out would production be to lose the twin twist here in week two, Christine?
Oh my gosh, they would be livid.
Livid.
They would have to, I'm sure they have extra twists in their back pocket, but they'd have to pull out a big one after that.
Taryn, what's your take? How upset would production be to lose the twin twist in week two?
Probably pretty upset. The thing about the twin twist, though, is you can reveal it at any time, right? So once she gets evicted, they can just do the big reveal then, and they still get their shocked faces. You just don't get to see them both in the house, which might not be that compelling anyway. So, yeah.
True. They just introduced it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks bad for them, so I'm sure they don't like that part of it.
I think they'll be like, eh, so what?
Yeah. Really?
I mean, of the 15 people in the house... Couldn't you argue that Liz/Julia is the least integral part of everything that's been going on this season? Is there anybody that's less in the mix than Liz/Julia? It's almost as if Liz is playing like somebody who's only there half the time.
Yeah, that's true. I just would love to see what the house would do if they both went in, because this...
I'm going to go out on a limb. They're going to vote one of them out.
But
probably the other one right
seem
after.
Seem to be scared of duos. This house doesn't seem scared of duos as much as you should be. So I can imagine them being like, oh, they'll go next week, you know, and letting them like slide by.
Hey, Taryn, don't we know exactly how this plays out? Like, is there any chance that they just don't vote out one or both of them right back to back?
I mean, they won a competition.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Boy, could you imagine? I mean, if Liz is, and tell me if I'm underselling Liz's game, if there's more there, but I mean, if she's like a total pawn that you could bring to the end, could we see one person potentially there with Liz and Julia at the end of the game?
That would be brilliant. But right, to be honest, as someone who wants to win, bringing one of them with you and saying, well, they only played half the game is a great speech. Like, it's a really good idea.
Bring one
of them.
Yeah. So it's very, very interesting to see how that goes. But I would not be upset at all if this, the twin twist just went away, because I really do feel like, with all due respect to Liz and Julie, I just feel like they're the least,
I love it.
The two least interesting people in the entire game.
I think Jackie's that's interesting.
Yeah. I think that if you were going to give me the third and fourth, I think that maybe that's we're in the same conversation. And again, your personal preference may vary, but I think we're all in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to some more questions. Let's see. Elizabeth Berry says, I really hate the spoiler announcement thing. The bell does just fine. Well, it was never even the bell. It was the buzzer before that. So I don't know. So it's not popular with everybody. So
yeah, I've seen mixed reactions to it. Yeah.
Christine, could you give some advice to my sound drops on how to deal with negative criticism?
Oh, honey, you just roll right off your back. Who cares? If you like something, go for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, thank you.
I love your sound drops.
You make the sound. You're making the soundboard feel much better. To deal with everything. Christine, how is everything going? I know that last summer you certainly got your fair share of criticism from the Big Brother fans, and I know that Tim had to take a lot of bullets for you while he was in the house. I was corresponding with him a little bit during the summer last year. How's everything going?
Great. We are literally just living normal life, going to work every day and coming home and cuddling. That's about it.
Whoa.
Let's not get explicit here.
We have a great life. It's been an awesome opportunity. Only good things have come out of this, so it's been cool. And my dad's my number one fan, and that's all that matters.
Oh, okay, good. Good. All right, so let's go to our next question. This is from Delire Tancho? Sure, let's go with that. Isn't going with the House just manipulative rhetoric for those in the majority to coerce those in the minority to do what's against their best interest? Isn't the House just imaginary?
Wow, deep thinker.
That is deep thinking. But isn't, I'm just going to go with the House, the ultimate BS answer, Christine.
Oh, yeah, it's the ultimate slide on by, don't have to think or do
straw
anything.
Straw man. Yeah, well, I'm only doing this because this is what the House wants. Yeah. Like, it's like, almost like I'm not even making this decision. Like, this decision was made for me by the House. Like, it's not up to me anymore. The House is making me put you on the block. The House is doing this.
Mm-hmm. It'd be very effective, though.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, let's take some more questions. This is from Miranda H96. I feel like Shelly and Clay shot themselves in the foot with this HOH. Shelly could have cruised to jury, but after her sloppy execution with HOH, I think she's in trouble and Clay is attached. We talked about Audrey's chances to get to jury. Tell me, Christine, yes or no, does Shelly make the jury after this?
I think that Shelly might, but Clay may not. I think Clay will be a target before Shelly.
Okay. What do you think, Taryn?
I can definitely see one of them getting clipped before jury. They're definitely, if not, they're definitely early jury targets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Bro Aid says, I'm on the Johnny Mac hype train.
Someone that can take a train to the face is definitely someone I can see myself aligning with.
Yes, anybody that can take a Johnny Mac hype train to the face, definitely align with him, right? All right, let's go to some more. This is from Tony's Llama. What's a better story, Victoria's Crow, Becky's Train, or Christine's Air Balloon? Christine, you heard the famous Victoria Crow story firsthand. How would you compare the two?
Oh, I literally don't think there's a story on the planet at this point that could top Victoria's Crow story. It's phenomenal. There's nothing that could ever top that.
Nothing could ever top that. Not Becky's Train story.
Nope. Don't even care. A girl got picked up by her shoulders from a crow, Rob. Nothing gets better than that.
Okay, but did she need any plastic surgery after that?
Good point. She made it through without any plastic surgery, too. So
yeah. Okay. Let's do some more questions. This is from Darnell, who says, Clay is giving me a Hardy vibe from BB2. Lack self-awareness and trust the wrong people. Taryn, would you say that Clay is a Hardy?
I can kind of see it. Their personalities are a little different, though, I think.
Okay.
Like, Hardy, I don't know. Clay seems more, laid back, like, less, I don't know. It's hard, yeah. Okay.
This is a question from I Am Renee. It says, actually, a convo from today. Shelly is still mad that Davon didn't use the fast forward thing on her, and that's why she wants her out. Hey, remember on the first night when Davon and Shelly and Audrey made an all-girls alliance? Remember that, Christine?
Oh, yeah, now I do.
Can we just kill the all-girls alliance on the first day thing?
Yeah, that's never going to work.
I blame the interviewers. Every single interviewer asks the girls, do you want to have an all-girl alliance? And so the second they get in the house, that's the first thing on their mind.
Yeah, the Big Brother press that talks to these people beforehand, it's like they really just try to incept people with making an all-girls alliance. And I think, are they just, is it just something that production knows is going to be horribly entertaining, or is going to be horribly wrong, but be very entertaining television when the girls alliance inevitably crashes and burns, like the hot air balloon, Christine?
Yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah, man, I wasn't aware how much America wanted a girls' alliance until I got asked in every single interview, and then I was like, am I supposed to make a girls' alliance? Like, is that what I'm supposed to do? Uh-oh.
Don't worry, Joey's on it. Joey's on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joey tried.
Okay. ID Institute wants to know, is Clay puppet mastering Shelly? Taryn, could you speak to that? Do you think, is Clay puppet mastering Shelly's HOH?
No, I don't think so. They seemed to have pretty equal say in the relationship, and she's probably better at the game than him, actually. So I wouldn't say he's puppet mastering her at all.
Yeah. Jason Mason wants to know, whatever happened to Christine being naked all the time?
Okay.
Here, Christine, what happened to that?
You guys,
that's
I am
half
naked.
The people that tuned into this show wanted to know.
I literally had to put a shirt on to do this interview, and Tim was like, you should probably put pants on just in case.
Is that part of the cuddling that goes on at your house?
You bet.
Well.
You guys, I don't know anyone who like is married and doesn't like to be naked. Like, I don't have kids yet. Why? Like, is that weird? I don't even think that's weird. I just like being naked when I'm not in public. Okay. I'm actually the world's biggest prude. Like, I've never even worn a two-piece bikini before in public. So.
Whoa, that's wild.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to a couple more questions. Sean D Block says Austin has a great chance of winning. Oh, yeah. True or false, Taryn?
I wouldn't say a great chance. I think he's somebody that has the potential to win, but he's not in the greatest position right now.
He's done a good job of separating himself from the Jace and Austin thing. Yeah. Would you say that? Is that fair, Christine?
Yeah, absolutely. And for being the big guy that he is and not being targeted at the moment, I think that's impressive.
Okay, I agree. I agree as well. So this is from Zahul, says, who should be split first, Jeff and Jackie or Clay and Shelly? Christine?
I think Jeff and Jackie, just because a relationship before the house is stronger than anyone you can make in the house.
Taryn, I'm interested to know your take on this as well. Jeff and Jackie or Clay and Shelly? Who needs to get split up first?
Definitely Jeff and Jackie. I think Jeff is the next person that needs to be like found out, because he's pretty much playing everyone in the house right now. He's in a great spot right now. I don't think it's going to last, but he's definitely in the best spot right now. So they need to figure that out. Plus, he has Jackie on the side.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about what he's doing, because we haven't talked about him very much, and he hasn't been on the TV show very much.
Right. So he's really obsessed with Austin. He really wants Austin out of the house.
Why?
Despite the fact that because way back when Audrey was doing her thing, Austin had initially targeted Jeff, and Audrey was going back and forth between them saying like, oh, Austin thinks you're jealous of him, and oh, hey, Jeff thinks you're, you know, a big doofus or whatever. And so they hated each other at that point.
And wait, didn't Audrey end up telling Austin that Jeff said he wanted to kill him?
Yeah, something like that.
That was the thing also. I don't know how that... Audrey in that story.
Exactly. And when Austin found out that Audrey had been the one that kind of stirring up mistrust, he was like, oh, cool. I'm cool with Jeff now. But Jeff never forgot it. So Jeff is pretending to be cool with Austin, but really wants him out. Jeff has also got a relationship with Liz that's kind of on the down low, but is decently strong. He's very close to Meg. He's in a group with Meg, James, himself, and Jason. That's like a type four. He's also in a group with Shelly, Clay, Johnny Mac, and Jackie as a five. And then, like I said, he's also close with Austin and Liz. So pretty much the only person who's even remotely after him is Audrey at this point. So he's sitting in a really great spot at the moment.
Okay. All right. That's all I got for tonight in terms of questions. I think we covered everything from the Sunday night edition of Big Brother. Christine, anything else you want to add? Any parting shots for Big Brother 17?
Everyone vote for Steve because he's awesome. Vote for him.
For what? Vote for him for what is he up for?
Everyone root for Steve. I just need to get that out there. I will forever be on his
loyalty. Why are you such a big Steve fan?
Because he wrote me a really nice email when I was getting a lot of hate when I first got out, and I will forever be indebted to him.
Okay, so he was just somebody who was watching the show. He wrote you an email, and what did it say?
He was just explaining how he understood game moves that I'm in, how he understood why I believed what I believed and all this stuff, and I should have gotten this hate. And then he explained how he's watched every season twice and he's a true super fan. And I just freaking fell in love with him. It was a very long, adorable email.
Okay.
And then I responded and then he responded. It was just cute.
How did you react to, did you watch the video of Jace talking to Steve?
No, I couldn't. I watched the first 2 minutes and I couldn't do it. But let me tell you, I don't view Steve as like, oh, my poor baby getting hurt. I feel like a mama deer. And that boy is ready to go catch his own meat, and he's going to take it, and he is going to go win. Like, I don't even, like...
Are you calling it? Are you calling a Steve win?
In my heart wants a Steve win, but I don't know if my brain thinks a Steve win.
Not the guy from Vegas. Yeah. Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else you want to add tonight?
I do want to briefly mention that the group that I mentioned with Clay, Shelley, Jeff, Johnny Mac, and Jackie, Johnny Mac became a part of that group because he randomly walked into the HOH room while they were talking, barely said a word, and Jeff brought up this idea of forming an alliance, and Johnny Mac was like, yeah, sure. And then they never named it, but then he walked out and was part of an alliance.
Look, hey, you got to be lucky. You got to be good and you got to be lucky. So good for Johnny Mac. All right. Boy, what's the hashtag for tonight's show?
Oh, what was that?
Chat room, you're in on this too. You're in on this. Is it some combination of... We've got a hot air balloon. We've got a train wreck.
A train.
We had something from earlier. I can't remember it.
Okay. All right. Well, while we're thinking of the hashtag, let me just remind you guys, tomorrow's the voicemail show. I'm going to record that. robinsonwebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. Also, going to speak with Matthew Berry, the great fantasy analyst from ESPN, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think what I'm probably going to end up doing, I think I'm going to talk to Matthew Berry, and then the second half of that one show is going to be me answering voicemails. So I think that's what we're going to do for that show. And of course, I'm going to have my exit interview with Jace tomorrow as well. So it's going to be a jam-packed Monday here on RHAP. Then Wednesday night, we'll return back to live action after Wednesday night's episode, see how the veto competition plays out, and ultimately who gets renommed in the veto once we know. And then we will be speaking with J-U-double-D, Party Darty will be our guest on Wednesday. So lots of good stuff coming. All right. So let's see. Some people are saying choo-choo. is there anything about cuddling? Is there anything you want to do with that?
Train cuddle.
Train cuddle?
You get it. Yeah.
What about, let's go back. This was my favorite of the night.
Someone that can take a train to the face is definitely someone I can see myself aligning with.
All right. Train face? Is that too?
Wait. Oh, is that too bad?
Is that okay? I don't know. I'm trying to shorten it. I'm trying to make it a hashtag. All right, Karma Train. I like that. I see that stacked in Florida in the chat room, because that's, I got hit with the Karma Train tonight. Yes, that's right.
Here we go.
For those of you guys listening to the audio version of it, I was flailing my arms about as I do when the BB takeover happened, and I pulled my headphone out of the mixer, and it took me like 10 minutes to untangle the wires. And thank you very much for filling in, picking up where I dropped the ball, Taryn. Appreciate that.
No problem.
All right.
Got to be careful with that BB takeover.
Got to be careful with that. It's a good lesson. I got too worked up. Follow Taryn on Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn. It's going to be a good night of the live feeds tonight as we see who is the ultimate replacement nominee. Also, follow Christine on Twitter. She's at Steen Stinks, correct?
Yes. Thank you.
There you go. All right, Christine, thank you so much for coming on with us. First BB16 house guest of the season here with us on RHAP. Hopefully we will have many, many more. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robinsonwebsite.com. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.